Hello and welcome to the Chunda Living Podcast. My name is Charlie and I'm joined here with a special guest today named Shin.
Hello everyone, I'm Shin Liang.
Very excited to talk about augmented reality and your recently launched Kickstarter campaign, which looks really cool. I think you're how far into the campaign? About 10 days, is that correct?
About a week, like I launched a week before.
1 week into your Kickstarter campaign and it is an augmented reality. Is it a racing game? How would you describe the project?
Yeah, it is a mixed reality racing game based on a toy called the Anki Overdrive. It is an artificial intelligent toy cars.
You do so many interesting things going on there. It's a artificial intelligence mixed reality game. It's a physical game. And let me just describe to people who listen to this podcast what is sitting in front of us. When I just met you, you were holding a couple articles, one of which looked like a very large circuit board, which looks like it's kind of printed out of cardboard. There's a toy car here, and all this stuff works together. Describe to me Anki Overdrive. What is it exactly?
Yeah, so Anki Overdrive is actually an artificial intelligent robotic toy cars. That's how they call it. It is built by a company based in San Francisco. They launched this about 5 years ago, I guess. So this car, they are artificial intelligent cars. They can drive themselves around the track, and they can battle and race with you.
It kind of looks like the toys which were around like in my childhood. You know, it's like you have a plastic racetrack, and you have remote controls, and the track is electrified. And you hold a trigger like on a gun-like remote, and then the car kind of accelerates and slows according to you suppressing this trigger.
Yeah, it
looks like a 2019 version of that.
Yeah, that's slot cars, right?
Slot cars. That's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah. So this one is like actually they are much more smarter than the one we talked about. They actually have an infrared camera underneath the cars. They can read some special markers on the track.
Mm-hmm.
And they will know where are they, where they are, and they will know the position about their opponents.
Yeah.
And they will race and attack them with virtual weapons.
Wow, that's crazy. So I came to meet you through our mutual friend, who is named Mark Koster, who's a guy who's American, who's been involved in the technology scene here in Chengdu for a decade or so, who has a great blog, which I'll link to in the show notes. How was it that you got started on this project and begun on your sort of journey working in technology or games?
So at the first beginning, I met Mark in a startup weekend, Chengdu, the very first startup weekend.
Oh, the very first one.
The very first one.
There have been so many. We were just talking about this before we started recording. There have been so many startup related events. You almost can't count them. I would say just hundreds of startup-related events over the last 5-6 years. And originally, Mark was involved in a lot of those. I think he was involved in me getting involved in some of those as a mentor and a participant. And really, it seems like if you judge by the quantity of startup-related events in Chengdu, then the technology scene is absolutely thriving here.
Yes. Yes.
So that was the first one.
The first one, it was in 2016. No, 2013. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. So you won that competition, right?
We won the competition as a team.
What was the project which won it?
It was a photo app that teaches you like how to make things, make stuff, like build stuff. It's more like a tutorial app that uses photos to teach you step by step how to build this thing from 0 to 1.
Like what kind of things would you build?
For example, if you want to build this board, how do you print this? How do you find the materials? How do you find the right ink?
I see.
Yeah.
Cool. So when you won Startup Weekend, I heard you got into a car accident.
Yes.
So the excitement of winning Startup Weekend led to an automobile accident.
I guess so. One of the team members, he drove us to the restaurant after we won the competition. I guess he got overexcited, and he turned in the corner with too much speed. He got understeer, and he drove us into another car.
No one was hurt, I hope.
No one was hurt. No one was good.
Then I can say that's funny.
That's pretty funny.
So aside from an automobile accident, what else did winning Startup Weekend lead to?
It actually led me to this startup hype.
Sure.
So after that, I went back to my day-to-day job, but in 2015, I got a chance to join a entrepreneur training program in Silicon Valley.
Wow.
Well, it is called Draper University of Heroes.
Okay.
It is founded by the famous venture capitalist Tim Draper himself.
Wow.
Yeah, I got into that program. After the program, I got invested by Tim Draper himself. And I started a business in Silicon Valley in San Mateo, exactly. It was about an app, and like it's kind of like Snapchat. So
that's amazing. So you went to Silicon Valley and you did an entrepreneurship program. Uh-huh. You received funding. You started a company in Silicon Valley.
Yeah,
that's quite amazing. Was that your first time, America or living there?
That wasn't. That was my second time.
What was that like? I mean, you go to California, Northern California, you're there. What was the experience like? Was it enjoyable? Was it difficult?
Well, it was very nice. The weather is very nice. From my point of view, from a guy from Chengdu.
Yeah.
Very nice weather there. A lot of sunshine.
How was the culture of the technology scene there compared to Chengdu? Because so many technology companies in Chengdu kind of idolize Silicon Valley. You know, they're always looking at what Silicon Valley companies are doing and trying to emulate that. Actually, Chengdu is frequently called the Silicon Valley of China by journalists.
Actually, I think compared to Chengdu, Silicon Valley, there's something like we need to learn it from is that openness. So all of the big companies, small startup companies, they are pretty open. They want to talk about what they're doing. They want to come to the, they want to join the community. A lot of people in the community, no matter it's a tech community or other kind of any kind of a community, you can find people, like meet people there. They're pretty open compared to Chengdu. A lot of companies, they just mind their own business.
Yeah. So you start a company in Silicon Valley. What happened then? How much time did you spend there?
We spent like almost a year over there. It was founded by me and my co-founder. He's from the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm.
We're two foreigner international co-founders. We built the app. We got on VentureBeat. They talk about us on VentureBeat on the front page.
Congrats.
Yeah, and we went viral in Turkey for some reason. We didn't know why. However, the app didn't take off. Like skyrocketing. So in a certain time, we got to decide whether to continue this or we go back to our own countries.
Right.
So my co-founder he left like before me. Mm-hmm. Like he thinks this is it. Like this is the journey, but the app is not going like skyrocketing as
right.
He would imagine.
Was it like a video social app, kind of like TikTok or Douyin, kind of like that?
It's similar. It's a short video app that you can not, but it's not a social app. It's an instant messenger.
I see.
You send it to a short video to your friend, and they it's not like Snapchat. They look at it, they review it and they disappear. It's not like that. It's like you set up a timer right after you send it. So they have to look at it and they have to respond on it before that time like comes up.
I see. Okay. So you spent a little bit of time in Silicon Valley and then eventually you decided to leave. And then did you come back to Chengdu after that?
I actually went to Beijing after that. I joined a company. We did eSIM. It's like Apple SIM for Android.
Okay.
Yeah, so we did this virtual SIM card business.
I see.
Yeah, so I built most of the Chinese phone now has this function built in.
And this is a sort of virtual SIM card, is that right?
Yeah, virtual SIM card.
I see, okay. And so how long were you in Beijing?
I've been in Beijing for 1.5 years.
How did you feel about that? How do you feel about Beijing versus Chengdu?
Beijing is much more crowded. Mm-hmm. I believe that's how
certainly,
I describe it.
Certainly.
And like, it doesn't feel like home. It if you want me like to pick between Chengdu and Beijing, I think I say Chengdu is a I can call home. Right? But Beijing is more like a place that you fight, that you work until you meet your middle 30s.
Beijing is a place to work. That's how I would feel. I've been to Beijing many times, and it's not a place I really hate, but it's not a place I would like to go. But it feels like a place that's good for working.
Yes. But when you're in your middle 30s, you suddenly found that it's very difficult for you to like to live there.
Very difficult to live there. It's a tough life up there, especially compared to Chengdu. You know, I think a lot of expats who live in Chengdu in particular maybe might take Chengdu for granted in some ways, mm-hmm. because they feel that, oh, well, Chengdu is a big city in China and all big cities in China are kind of like this and they're all kind of similar. Not really. You know, Chengdu is pretty unique in the way that it feels, the way that people live their life here. And that contrast might be most strong with Beijing, which is one of the most intense places in China.
Very intense.
So you came back to Chengdu, and what did you do then?
So I did some like freelancing projects after I came back to Chengdu. But in last year, I think it's June or May, I can't recall. So I started to look at this Anki Overdrive project. So I was a big fan of Anki Overdrive from day one.
Tell me, what is Anki Overdrive?
So it is a like I said, it's a robotic toy cars.
Mm-hmm.
They can run on the they can race on the track. They have this modular track pieces. You can put together. You can build your own track setups. They have like unlimited numbers of track pieces. You can build a mega track.
So we could build a track like which goes all around this room.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Okay. But that was not an augmented reality one.
That was not.
Right.
So they released this toy very early, like a few years ago. Last year, about May, I found they haven't updated the app, updated the toy for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually had this idea in 2016, I guess, but I didn't take it seriously because I thought Anki was definitely gonna make this happen.
Right.
So, but after 2 years, I see them they're not making this AR version. So I started to take their SDK, and with some AR technology, I built some demos and sent to them.
Wow, so you were just a fan here in Chengdu, and you had the idea of doing this, and so you kind of created some concepts, and then you just emailed them?
Yes, I emailed them. I tried to find them on LinkedIn. I actually know their head of communication, is that how you call it? I emailed them, I sent them the demos, but he told me their team was pretty busy on their new robot. So until they released their new robot, which was very cool, called Anki Vector, it's a home robot. It's a very small home robot. But I really realized that they're not going to build this AR idea.
Right.
Yeah. So it was that moment I took a bold decision that I'm gonna make this.
So how did it go? You send them the concept and then they reply. What was their response like? Were they immediately interested or was there a dialogue or discussion?
Not really. He just told me the tech team, the development team was very busy like on stuff.
And so, but you must have convinced him that it was worth his time to cooperate with you, right?
I tried, but they're not interested in this idea.
What was the breakthrough experience where they decided, okay, we'll work with you?
No, they're not working with me even now.
Oh, they're not working with you now?
No, yeah.
So how did it come to be that you're working on Anki Overdrive augmented reality?
So they have this SDK under Apache License 2.0, which allows me to use this SDK under toys to build my own product under certain conditions.
Oh, wow. Okay. Did they present this idea to you, or did you just do some research and you thought, I can just use the SDK and do it myself?
I did my research.
Wow, good for you.
Yeah.
How do they feel about this project? Because it's kind of something which they made, and now there's someone on the other side of the planet working on a pretty exciting new development.
After I released some demos on the internet, they actually got in touch with me, but they cannot. The guy talked to me. He cannot, because some legal reasons, he cannot say if they're gonna do it or not, because they have some
legal restrictions.
Yeah. So they can't say. But he said, if you want to do this, you can use all the open source code and everything. You can use it. There's nothing. They were not going to be against this,
right?
But they're not going to support me.
I see. Well, that's fair enough, right?
Yeah, that's fair enough.
That's okay. So tell me, you create this concept, and then what do you do then? Do you assemble a team? Do you work on this yourself? What was your plan to build this?
So basically, I'm a solo developer. I built this thing from scratch. I got help from a couple of friends who helped me on the 3D modeling of the weapons and stuff. And a friend of mine draw the key art of the game for me.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, it's basically just me as a solo developer.
Pretty impressive, because there's so many different disciplines involved here. There's a lot of programming, obviously. There's development of these hardware components, like the circuit boards. I assume there's chips. There's an IR camera, like you said. There's a lot of stuff going on here. Was it difficult to, assemble these pieces? Did you have to learn a lot, or did you kind of already have knowledge of how to do this?
I have to learn that. So the most difficult part is not the game development, because I'm a developer. I write codes. That's not the hardest part. The hardest part is actually making this special track piece.
Yeah.
So I need to find a way that will allow this car's infrared camera underneath it to read the code,
right,
on the track. So, and also I need to find this infrared transparent ink,
mm-hmm,
so that allows the car to look through the surface.
Right. It does seem like China might be the best place on the planet to make something like this.
Yes.
Is that true? Are you finding, suppliers on Taobao or something like that? Or are you working with people in Guangzhou or somewhere else in China?
This is all made from Taobao.
Right.
I just searched the hell out of Taobao.
What a gold mine Taobao is. Yeah. Taobao is like the ultimate resource. For people who haven't been to China or are unfamiliar with China, I kind of describe it as like Amazon, but like way better. There's just so much more. There's so much on Taobao.
So much stuff. I just I searched Taobao I purchased some samples from the suppliers and I did a lot of experiment. And this took me 3 months to find the right ink, find the right material,
mm-hmm,
and the right method to make this piece.
So how long was it before you had sort of a working prototype? You make a concept and then you assemble all these pieces, you find the suppliers. Was it 6 months or a year, or what was the time period to build one which worked?
It was about 3 months.
That is super fast.
Not really. I think I could have done this sooner.
Really?
If I had some knowledge about this printing technology beforehand.
So in the process of kind of figuring out how this would work, did you build a lot of different sort of test tracks? Did you have test cars, test tracks? Did you build mega tracks like we described? Do you have stuff like that in like a workshop or anything?
I built some, because the office space I have is very limited. It's a co-working space, so I don't have a mega track. I have some small track setups. I have different levels. Mm-hmm. The most amazing part of this game is that you can play different levels on the same track.
Oh, right, because of the augmented reality part.
Yes. That compared to the original game, you can.
So for people who are listening, maybe some people aren't familiar with augmented reality or what it is. So it's basically you have a track and you have a car on the track, and mm-hmm, you look at the car and the track through your phone.
Yes.
And then on the phone, you can see a whole environment of 3D objects which aren't there in the real world.
Yes. And you can also see the cars firing at each other.
Right. So you would have one track and one car, more than one car.
More than one
car. And then you can see different enemies and they're, you know, they're shooting at you or doing things with you, and it can change dynamically based on the way that you develop the game.
Yes.
So you have one track, and let's just talk about the Kickstarter, for example. Mm-hmm. So people who contribute to the Kickstarter, you said you're at like 25% funding right now?
24.
That's okay. Great. So people who have contributed to the Kickstarter so far, are they buying just one set, which is like a track that they can build in any way that they want?
So they actually get three track pieces and a Anki Overdrive starter kit. With these three special track pieces and their original track pieces, you can build 8 different track setups.
Mm.
And they got 2 of these special engineering bay piece that I call this.
Okay.
So you can put your car on the piece.
Okay.
And you can upgrade your weapons. You can see that.
I see. Okay, interesting. So what this looks like for people who can't see this is, it's like an asphalt looking a flat board, which has 4 holes in it. And I guess this is where the physical
wheels.
Toy car fits into.
Yeah.
And then as you view this board with the car, with your phone, mm-hmm. then you can see all sorts of 3D objects around the car.
Yes, the cannon guns and everything else.
I see. Okay. So how's it been launching a Kickstarter? Have you ever worked on a Kickstarter before? Is this your first time?
This is my first time. It's really really something new to me.
Did you do a lot of research on how to run a successful Kickstarter, or what has the process been like?
Yes, I did. I wanted to launch this in December last year, but I got a lot of people, expert told me not to do that in the holiday seasons,
mm-hmm.
because the traffic is very expensive.
Right.
And not do this in January because nobody has money.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Spend the money in December. So I was going to launch that in February, but due to some the video making took a lot of time.
Yeah.
So I launched last week.
Wow.
So yeah, 1 month later than my original plan.
So 24% of your funding in 1 week, it seems like you're doing pretty well.
Yeah.
So if the Kickstarter is successful, then what will that mean? Will that mean you have a new company which makes this augmented reality Anki Overdrive product?
Yeah, so I already registered this company because Kickstarter requires a company
mm-hmm.
to build this. So I will bring this to the backers, bring this 3 track pieces and 2 engineering bay pieces. And the full game on iOS and Android,
mm-hmm.
I'll bring it to the backers with 3 different levels on 8 track setups.
Mm-hmm.
That will be the full game. And if that goes well, I will consider build my own hardwares of the car.
That would be like your own new cars and new tracks as well? Or what kind of additions could come to this in the future?
So this Anki Overdrive, they're not built for AR gaming.
Mm-hmm.
So in the development process, I found it like a lot of inconvenience of the car. It's very, sometimes when the car flies, you cannot track it.
Oh, when the car flies?
Yeah, when the car jumps, you cannot track the car precisely. So my plan is to build my own hardware, which you can track them very well. And you can see the cars very accurately.
Right. So is it just like slot cars where it's the car itself is powered by an electrical track on the track? Is that how the car is powered?
No, this car has battery built in.
Oh, I see. Okay, so it's a battery, and so the wheels are actually spinning.
Yes, the wheels, the rear wheels, they're spinning and they're turning.
Wow. Okay. That's interesting. So how does that work? You change the batteries? Is it like standard, like AAA battery or something?
No, you just put it on the charger.
Oh, okay. There's like an inductive charger.
Yes.
I see. Perfect. So there's a little accessory which the car fits into in order to charge. What has the feedback been like on the Kickstarter so far? Have you had testers or have you had people play with this or experience it? Have you learned anything interesting in the process of sharing this with other people?
I actually have a working demo on iOS. I have a lot of, somebody has tested. They love the concept, but they want more content.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, there's already a demo on App Store,
yep,
which you can download. And it so, but you don't get the track pieces. You need another poster. I have designed a poster, and you put the poster inside the track. It only supports one track setups.
Okay,
that's the biggest drawback of that solution. So that's why I came up with this solution with three different track pieces that you can build within. You can put within your track setups.
So in order to use the demo, which is available on the iOS App Store, you need to have the poster. Is that correct?
Yes, you can download it on my website.
And then print it yourself?
Yes, you print it out yourself.
Cool.
You go to printing store.
Right. So then once you have the poster and you have the iOS demo app, then you point the phone at the poster and the app can identify different locations on the poster. And then it inserts the AR components, which are the cars and the tracks and things like that, onto the poster itself. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
That's pretty cool. Tell me a little bit about AR in general. I think it was maybe 2 years ago, something like that, where Apple introduced ARKit, mm-hmm, which made it a lot easier for software developers to integrate augmented reality components into their apps. And I think that there's an Android kind of similar version of ARKit as well.
Yeah, ARCore.
ARCore, exactly. Has augmented reality kind of developed in the way that you thought it would, or do you see it playing a really important role in the future?
So right now the AR experience is mostly on the phones, right? So I don't think this is the final solution for AR. I believe HoloLens and Magic Leap ones, they are the further solution.
So it's almost like a Google Glass type of thing, right? Like,
yeah,
where you're wearing a sort of glasses or a headset.
Yeah,
and
headset.
So it's, you can see through it, it's transparent, but it inserts objects onto your display.
Yes.
So that'll be kind of the final.
I think that will be the future.
Right.
That'll be the future. Right now, the whole AR industry is kind of struggling because the limitation of the hardwares.
Right.
So you have to use your phone to put, like, point your phone to the objects.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the big, but I think the big companies, they're pushing very hard, like Magic Leap, Apple, and Microsoft. They called it, some company calls this ARs. Microsoft like to call this MR.
Mixed reality.
Yeah, mixed reality.
Right. I remember they did a demo, I think it was for the HoloLens with Minecraft, mm-hmm, where it's like a tabletop, and once you're wearing this headset, then you could see, you can build all these like 3D blocks on top of the tabletop, and it looks really lifelike. It's very difficult to describe. I can link to it in the podcast show notes. That is a very exciting future, especially when the cost of these things starts to come down.
Yes.
I think there's the new HoloLens is
HoloLens
like
two?
$2,000 or something.
$3,000.
$3,000. Yeah, that's got to come down.
Yeah.
That'll be exciting when that can happen, though. Were you inspired by any other augmented reality apps or games in order to make this one?
Actually, this idea was really, really from 2016, like 3 years ago, exactly 3 years ago. By that time, I just saw the ARKit demo. I think this could happen with Anki Overdrive. I was inspired by the ARKit and some other demos. That's where my
What do you think have been the biggest AR games so far? Like Pokemon Go is probably the biggest one.
Yeah, the biggest one.
That was, I think, two summers ago, where it was sort of a global, international, really big cultural hit in the United,
yeah,
States. People were, I mean, everyone from grandmothers to small children were in the park and in the streets playing Pokemon Go, and the augmented reality functionality of the game was probably the most striking, memorable part of it.
Yes.
But it feels like since then there maybe hasn't been a hit that has been that big for AR. Is that the way you see it as well?
Yeah, so I think one of the reasons the Pokemon Go went viral because it is Pokemon. Right, the AR is just a it's not the core of the game of that game.
Yeah.
Right? So ever since that, we haven't seen any big AR game, like popular AR games. So I guess the reason is, like I said, the experience is not there yet, mm-hmm. because you have to use your phone, you have to point to somewhere.
Yeah.
But I believe in some scenarios it could be useful. Like we talked before this recording, we talked about the AR in museums.
Yeah, that's right. So you actually told me just about a museum project, an aviation museum, which will be opening soon in the Global Center here in Chengdu.
Yeah, in Global Center W3.
That's pretty exciting. So that'll have an augmented reality component. Describe to me what's going on down there.
So they want to have this AR version of a control tower. So you can use your iPad or iPhone or any other phone to look at the empty ground.
Yeah.
And you can see the live feed from Chengdu Shuangliu Airport.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a really cool idea.
Yeah, you can see all the all the planes taking off. And all the air stripes,
yeah,
air stripes and everything, like from just like looking at live feed.
Yeah, so like the runways, planes landing, planes taking off, all the different all different activity which is going on at the airport. That's really cool. Chengdu Shuangliu Airport is a really big one now too.
Yeah,
since they've added the second terminal on just a couple years ago. That's really interesting to hear that they're doing that at the Global Center. I haven't really heard about much happening at the Global Center recently. So the idea that there's an aviation museum which has an augmented reality component, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Are there any other interesting technology projects going on in Chengdu that you know about related to AR or to games?
About games, I actually want to talk about Viking Games.
Viking Games.
Do you know that company?
No, I don't.
Yeah, so they actually helped me a lot on my project, because I'm a software developer, but I'm not a game developer at the beginning. When I started this project, I have zero knowledge about game development, so I started to learn Unity, started to learn C#,
mm-hmm.
learn everything that I needed for this project from zero. So they helped me. They helped me. The CEO and CTO, they helped me on this project, and they're building a really cool game, which is coming out later this year.
It's a Viking game.
It's kind of it's like a lot of fighting involved.
Okay, sure, naturally. That sounds cool. That's exactly the type of community that you were talking about,
yes,
in Silicon Valley.
Yeah, that's so. I really want to see more people like talking about their project instead of hiding their project in their pocket.
Sure.
Just talk to us, come to the community, help each other. That's what we really need in Chengdu.
Yeah, that's great to hear. It's very inspiring to hear that you've been able to make so much progress on this so quickly in just 3 months to build this thing, which is, I think that anyone who watches the demo video or sees the Kickstarter will agree it's quite impressive. If someone's interested in developing their own independent project, like a game or an augmented reality project, what kind of resources would you recommend they look up in order to get started on that?
So I suggest use Upwork.com or Fiverr.com to find freelancers. They can help you on your project.
It's interesting that you wouldn't recommend people find freelancers in China, because there are so many people in China, so many people that are skilled in China. Why was it that you sought freelancers outside of China rather than here?
So I did search for freelancers in China. I did ask friends to help me. I do have friends who work in this industry. But I guess one of the biggest drawback of the Chinese freelancers, they're very much occupied by their day-to-day job.
Hmm.
So sometimes they can't deliver on time. That's a problem. So on Fiverr or Upwork, there are a lot of professional freelancers. They do freelancing for a living.
That's really interesting to hear, because occasionally strangers contact me through my website and they ask me, oh, I'm trying to find a freelancer to do this or that, and I want to find them in China, but I don't know where to look, and there's a language barrier and there's a cultural barrier. And kind of my standard response is, well, if you have to contact me and ask this, then you're probably not ready to do that. But it's interesting to talk to someone who's here in China and is Chinese, and you yourself are seeking freelancers from outside China.
Yes.
It's kind of counterintuitive, but that's interesting to hear. Anyway, thank you for joining me on this podcast. I really wish you luck on the Kickstarter of Anki Overdrive Augmented Reality. I will certainly link to the Kickstarter campaign in the show notes, and I'll help you spread awareness of that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Charlie.